Rechaim HaKadosh, Parshas Hazinu, Tafshin, Ayin, Zayin. Okay, Hazinu HaShemayim Va'adabera. So we go back to the beginning. Hazinu HaShemayim Va'adabera, V'sishma Ha'aretz Imrei Fi. Rechaim HaKadosh is going to first address B'derech HaPshat a whole bunch of questions. He opens with six questions. Sounds almost like a barbanel, the way he's launching all these questions at us to get us started. He does that sometimes also. But six questions is a lot. Let's see. Yesh lahayr. Rishona lama amar va'adabera v'lo amar alzeh haderech hazinu hashamayim divarai. Why does it have to say hazinu hashamayim? Listen heavens, va'adabera, and I will speak. Just say, hazinu hashamayim divarai. Okay. Base. Lama lo kol osam yachad. Moshe says, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and may the earth hear the words of my mouth. So if the heavens are listening, and the earth is listening, so why not put it together? Why not call osam yachad? Why not just say, hazinu hashamayim v'ha'aretz? Or maybe use the lashon, shimu shamayim v'aretz. Makes sense. They're both listening. Why separate them into two categories? Gimel. Why does he use the lashon of ha'azana, of giving ear, when it speaks to the heavens, and when he speaks to the earth, he says lashon of shmiya, of hearing? Question four. Why does Moshe command the heavens? Moshe says ha'azinu. He says heavens, listen up. Linocheach. He speaks directly to them. V'la'aretz amar vasishma. Shahayulo lomar vishimi ha'aretz. Moshe doesn't command the earth to listen, just points out the earth will listen. So why does the heaven need to be told to listen, while the earth almost automatically seems to on its own absorb the message of Moshe? Vishishma, it's more passive. Number five, hey. Lama l'shamayim amar va'adabeira dibur kasha. We know from the Gemara in Makos, other places in Shas as well, that the difference between amira and dibur is that amira is gentle speech. Dibur is lashon kasha. So says the Rechaim HaKadosh, why to the heavens is it ba'adabera, and to the aret it's imrei fi, amira raka. Right? Why is it when you speak to the earth, you can speak more gently, when you speak to the heavens, you need to speak more firmly?
It's raka.
Raka, soft. Delicate language. Vav, and the sixth and final question for now, lama diktik lomar imrei fi, v'lo amar amarai. The same way that we asked at the beginning, why does it say va'adabera, as opposed to just hazinu shemayim divarai? So what do you mean imrei fi, the words of my mouth, as opposed to what, the words of my leg? What's imrei fi? Just say, listen to amarai, listen to my words. Okay, so these are the six questions as presented by the Rechaim HaKadosh. V'ra'isi l'rabbo seinu. So we're going to see something really amazing here. He's going to tell us, to what degree do we have, I mean, it's fascinating, Dafkin Parshas Hazinu, the Shira, right, where in theory when you read a poem or you read the lyrics to a song, seemingly there's a lot more room for interpretation. And when I interpret a short story, okay, so there's still many ways that I might interpret it, but all the more so when someone speaks in a poetic fashion. Right? When someone's language is more precise and more calculated, and every word is measured against other words, there's a lot more room to try to say, well, what was the intention of the author? It's clear from the language of the poem or from the song that the words were precisely measured and precisely chosen. So seemingly there's more room for poetic and you know, there's more room for literary interpretation in analyzing the song or the poem. Now, lahavdil, the same thing is true when it comes to the Torah. So the Rechaim HaKadosh is actually going to tell us in a few moments from now, to what degree do we have a right to open up the Chumash and say, I know that Chazal read the Pasuk this way, but I want to read it my own way. Do I have the right to do that? Or is that a terrible, you know, chutzpah and an undermining of Chazal? Can I interpret as I see fit? And again, it's dafka in the context of Shiras Hazinu that the question becomes that much more pronounced, because every word, every phrase is so hard to decipher. And there's so many layers of intent. Right? So Yonatan says, Shivim Panam L'Torah. So we'll have to see to what degree does a person have the right to pull out the Shivim Panam L'Torah card and use it as he sees fit. Okay, so let's see how Chazal read the Pesukim first. Ra'isi l'Rabbo Seinu Zal in the Sifrei. In the Medrash on Devarim, we find the following. Sha'amru Moshe Shahaya Sha'amru Sha'm. Sorry, Try that again. Verisi la rosinu zal sha'amr. Chazal say the following. Moshe shahaya karuv l'shamayim amr ha'azinu ha'shamayim. Ha'azinu chazal. Let me tell you the klal, and then we'll read it inside. According to Chazal, ha'azinu, give your ear, is the way you speak to someone when they're close to you. Shimu means listen from a distance. That's how Chazal understand the words ha'azinu and shimu. Ha'azinu is close, shimu is far. So based on that, ha'azinu ha'shamayim. Moshe is speaking. Moshe says ha'azinu ha'shamayim. Listen from up close, shamayim. Say Chazal, why does Moshe speak that way? Because Moshe is a shamayim dikiyid. Moshe himself is close to the shamayim. He feels that he's closer and more connected to shamayim than he is to Aretz. As opposed to other Nevi'im, who as great as they were still people of this world. Moshe, from the waist up, Chazal say, was Elohim, was godly. Right? He was half and half. He's an Ish Elohim. Half of him was an Ish and half of him was Elohim. So Moshe was living in the clouds, Kipshuto. So therefore Moshe, Shahaya Karov Lashamayim, Amar Ha'azinu Hashamayim. He spoke to the heavens because he felt very close to the heavens. So he used the Lashon of Ha'azinu, implying his proximity to the heavens. Yeshaya, however, say Chazal, Yeshaya Hanavi, Shaya Rachuk Min Hashamayim, Amar Shim'u Shamayim. Yeshaya Hanavi in the first paragraph says, Shim'u Shamayim, listen heavens. And he's speaking to the heavens at a distance, and that's why he uses the Lashon of Shmia. Ad Kan. Now for those who were here last year, I want to go back to the last Shem Yishmuel Shir from last year. Because if you remember, the last Shem Yishmuel Shir last year, we quoted a letter from Rav Huttner in the Igros Pachad Yitzchak, where Rav Huttner asked the following question. He received a letter from a Talmud, we hadn't heard from in a long time, and the Talmud wrote to him how he's doing so great, and this was a Talmud who Rav Huttner had worked very hard with in yeshiva to try to inspire, and from the tone of the letter, it seems like he was not so successful by his own assessment. And now this Talmud's writing to him all these years later, oh, I'm doing so great, I'm running so stark, and I'm so committed, and everything's great. And so Rav Huttner says, it sounds like, you know, the messages I planted within you long ago are finally resonating many, many years later. And he went on to interpret, Rav Huttner said, perhaps this is what David HaMelech meant, when David HaMelech said, L'chu vanim shimuli. L'chu vanim, go my son and listen to me. So Rav Huttner said, that's weird. If you want to talk to someone, you say, come over here and listen to me. Why would you tell someone to go away and then listen to me? So Rav Huttner said, maybe David HaMelech was saying that sometimes when you're up close, you can't appreciate a message, and only after you've gone far away can you actually begin to hear. But I want to just point out, for the sake of honesty, that according to Chazal's understanding of the word shimu, as we just saw, l'chu banim shimuli actually makes a lot of sense. Right? Because if shimu means to listen from a distance, that's exactly what David HaMelech was saying. So Rav Huttner's question is not necessarily, if Chazal are correct in interpreting shimu as a phrase of listening from a distance, so then Rav Huttner's question is not such a good question. L'chu banim shimuli makes a lot of sense. L'chu banim, when you go away, shimu, listen at a distance. Rav Huttner's question is, why would you tell someone to go away to listen? But if the word shimu implies listening from a distance, then it's actually, the words of Tila make a lot of sense. Okay, so that's b'derech ha'pshat. We have to be honest about pshat. The danger of pshat is once you hear that, then like the whole Rav Huttner's Igaris doesn't have that same feel that it had, which is why pshat can be dangerous. Dangerous. That's why the Chidah says pshat is osios tipesh. Because a person could become foolish with pshat. He can become so obsessed with pshat that pshat is so clear and emistic and makes so much sense that you're not willing to hear anything deeper. Okay, so we have to be makabel the pshat. L'chu banam shimuli, according to Chazal's understanding of shimu, the word shimu makes a lot of sense. But Rav Huttner, going a little deeper, says, yeah, but shimu sometimes also means listening even up close. And therefore, why would you send someone away to listen? And then Rav Huttner gave his beautiful response to that Talmud. Okay, just wanted to point that out. So this is Chazal. Ulidivreim nisyashu k'tzat miyadikdukim lo kulam. According to Chazal's understanding of Ha'azinu versus Shimu, we can answer some of my six questions, says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. However, I want to say a little differently. V'chutz midarcham nira lomar, but in addition to the Chazal interpreted, I'd like to say my own interpretation. V'kodim naschil al davar mashmos tevas Ha'azinu. I want to come back to this word Ha'azinu. Because even though Chazal told us that Hazinu means speaking up close, I think Hazinu has a dual interpretation. V'hinei sovelis shnei drachim. Echad hatei ozen, v'hasheni tazin oznecha. What's the difference between hatei ozen and tazin oznecha? One implies, like Chazal said, to be able to listen very readily, very easily, because you're so close. But the other one implies hatei ozen. Extend your ear. Turn your ear. Struggle to listen because it's not so easy to hear. So says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, this word, ha'azinu, actually could be understood as listening when it's very easy to listen. Or it could mean to strain one's ear to listen. L'derech harishon yagid, shashomei rachuk, v'tzarech lahatos ozno kadei sheyuchal l'shmoa. The first way to understand ha'azinu, says the Orach Chaim, is what hatei ozen, incline your ear. Lean over and try to listen because it's not easy for you to hear. Shebelo hatayis ozno ini yachal lishmoa. V'lederach hasheni yagid shekol kach ozen hashomea krova lamashmia shelaze amar ha'azein. But the second way to understand it is what? Is that the ear is so close that what? That ta'azin oznecha. Right? That the words are one with your ear. You don't have to make any effort to hear. So mamash min hakotza al hakotza, the two extremes. On the one hand, Hazinu makes it sound like it's so easy to hear, on the other hand, it's so difficult to hear. Which itself is an amazing thing. That you can have something that for one person is so easy to hear, for someone else it's so hard to hear. I was thinking yesterday, at the Kol Yom Rishon, I was listening to Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, Shlita, and I could listen to him forever. Like, I felt like I could sit there forever and just listen to him. Yeah, he's amazing. He's unbelievable. Right? But I was thinking, I was like reflecting on that feeling sometimes when a person's in a shir, right? Maybe not Rabbi JJ, maybe someone else. Or just Stam, a person who's not yet, their heart and mind is not yet open to Torah. Like the high school kid who's still not inspired and not necessarily connected, and he's like staring at the clock, like dying for Gemara Shir to end already, right? So it's amazing. You can have the same Torah, which to one person is so close, it's so accessible, he hears it so loud and clear, he's filled with a spiritual delight. And you can have another person who has to strain his ear to hear anything. How is this relevant? What does this mean for me? So it's interesting just that the word hazinu, again, has this duality to it, that for one person it could be mamish, it's one with your ear, and for another person, hatei ozen, he has to strain his ear just to try to make sense of it. Okay? So which way did Chazal interpret? So Chazal said, hazinu ha-shamayim, that Moshe, because he's in proximity, he's close to the heavens, hazinu, he's able to speak to the heavens very directly. V'kevin sha, now look what he writes, this is amazing. V'kevin sha ha-mila sovelis gamkein derech harishon. But since, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, I think it's a legitimate interpretation to say that hazinu also implies straining one's ear to hear. V'ein ha-chareya anu neilech bo, and there's no definitive way to say one way or the other. And therefore I want to interpret hazinu not like Chazal. Chazal said hazinu means listening up close. I want to use the other interpretation of hazinu, and with that I think I can answer all six of my questions, not just a few of my questions. Chazal's interpretation of hazinu, I can explain some of my six questions. With my interpretation, this alternate interpretation, I think I can answer all the questions. And if you'll say to me, chutzpah. But if the kadmoneinu, if Chazal chose the other interpretation of hazinu, who are you to say otherwise? We know that there are 70 pathways and 70 interpretations, faces of facets of Torah. Look what he says here. It's a big heter. You've got to know this heter. In terms of agadic interpretations, in terms of extracting lessons from the Torah, you can basically say whatever you'd like, even if it's completely against Chazal, as long as it doesn't go against halacha. Once you start to interpret the Torah against the halacha, then we have a problem. Now again, to be fair, I will point out the Warri Shonim, who b'derech hapshat, interpreted the Torah against halacha. Right? Ibn Ezra and others, there were great Rishonim who read Pshuto Shel Mikra not in accordance with the way that halacha reads those psukim. And sometimes that's a big deal. Right? To interpret the pasuk that way, if the pasuk has a halachic significance, that's a big deal. For example, some of the Rishonim talk about, you know, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, even though we know in halacha the Jewish day goes night and it's followed by day. You look in Bereshis, it's really day before night. It's really day before night in some contexts. Now again, I don't think those Rishonim who were interpreting Pshat that way said that's how we should practice the halacha. I don't think they were saying Shabbos starts in the morning and continues into the night. I think they agreed that the halacha is such that we start, you know, the Yom Tov, the Shabbos enters at night and continues through the day. Right? They didn't practice otherwise. But what does it even mean to interpret Pshuto Shel Mikra against halacha? It gets very sticky, it gets very complicated. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, that much I don't think we should do. But in terms of Agada, say whatever you want. If you can extract a lesson, Shiras HaZinu, out of the beautiful poetry of the Torah, and again, I'm not saying that to, God forbid, degrade the Torah, I'm saying that to elevate, to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu's magnificent writing. Okay, so say whatever you'd like. And furthermore, I can say it both ways. I can say it my way, I can say it Chazal's way, and I can make it all work, so it's fine. So don't be upset that I'm trying to say my own thing here. Here's how I want to explain. Not like the Medrash says that Moshe is heavenly, so therefore he's close to the heavens. No, let's go Pashup Shah. I want to say, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that Hazinu means far away. Chazal said Hazinu means close. Hazinu also means strain your ear to listen because the heavens are far away. So listen. Very simple. Look how I read the Pesukim. He says, Lefi Shashamayim him el yonim kipsha ha'inyin. Lazek har lehem Moshe shiyatu oznam. Va'amar lehem ha'azinu. Moshe says to the heavens, which are far away, incline your ear. It's hard for you to hear me. I'm all the way down here, says Moshe. Listen carefully, heavens. Perish. Hatu oznechem l'shmoa divarai. How about the aretz? The ground upon which Moshe is standing. V'la'aretz amar v'sishma. Perish me'atzma. Below ha'tayas ozen. The ground, you're right here. You can hear very easily. You don't need to incline your ear. Ki lefanav yomedes v'yachol l'shmoa chito chamayim ha'yotzei yipiv. You can hear. You can see the words coming out of my mouth. V'hu omro imrei fi. That's what Moshe says to the ground. V'sishma. Very passively, very naturally, very easily. Ha'aretz imrei fi. You can literally see my lips moving. The heavens are straining to hear, right, the reverberation of my words. But the ground is right here, so you can see and you can hear the imrei fi. Leos a kolkach krova etzlo. Okay, so b'derech ha'pshat, he's told us a pshat. But the Rechaim wrote his commentary not just to say pashup pshat and psukim. So now he goes much deeper. Okay, but we worked hard to get to this point because about 15 minutes to do it, so now let's go deeper. Will the derech zeher vachnu yishuv kol adiknukim? So now I can answer all the questions. Ki lefi she'echad rachok ve'echad karov. Since the heavens are far and the earth is close, so now you understand the question that he asked. Why not put them into one statement? Why not say all together what hazinu hashamayim v'haaretz? The answer is no, because he's speaking of the nature of his speech to heavens and earth are different. He spoke to each one as appropriate to it. Therefore, to hazinu hashamayim v'adabeira, to the heavens which are far away, adabeira, I'm speaking to you, b'kol ram, b'kol gadol, dibur lashem kasha, maybe speak a little stronger, b'lakaro of kafir roilo, to the earth which was close by, he spoke in a way that was fitting for it. Hey, irushagam, I love you, daber. I don't need a call to the heavens. Ki me'atzmo yishma. Hagam shel yikra b'kol gadol. Al b'chitoch osios mipiv tishma bo. V'sishma aretz imrei fi. Much easier for the earth here because it's right there. Okay? So now let's go back. Because again, Chazal contrasted Moshe with Yeshaya. So what does Moshe say to Yeshaya? Sorry, that made no sense. What did Chazal say in interpreting the words of Yeshaya Navi? Right? How would we explain the Pasuk based on the Rechaim's approach, the words of Yeshaya Navi? Shim'u shamayim v'ha'azini eretz. What does that mean? Shenasan shmiya l'shamayim hagam sheim rechokim imenu v'azana l'aretz hagam sheim krova. Why would Yeshaya Navi use shmiya to the heavens, which are far away, and use ha'azini, which means to listen more carefully, to the aretz, which is close? Hatamhu, look what he says. K'mo shegamar omer Yeshaya atzmo v'amar ki Hashem diber. The difference between Yeshaya is not speaking on behalf of Yeshaya Navi, he's speaking on behalf of God. So that actually makes a lot of sense. He is speaking from the heavenly perspective. Moshe, who's speaking with his feet on the ground, has to call to the heavens and has to speak gently to the earth beneath his feet. Yeshaya, who's presenting on behalf of Hashem, Perush, Tam Shomer B'Seder Zeh, the reason he presented in this way to them, Ki Hashem Diber, Uve'erech HaMedaber, and from the perspective of the one who's speaking, namely, Shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yosrahim Krov Mashamayim. So the heavens are much closer to Hashem because Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem. And Hashemayim Kisiva Aratz Adon Raglai. Lezeh Amar Shimu Shemayim. So therefore, Shimu Shemayim. The heavens can listen very easily. Vahazini Eretz. And the land which is distant from Hashem, the earth which is far from Hashem, needs to incline its ear to hear. Okay? Pretty good outlook. Now let's go deeper. V'ulai shetevas ha'azinu yutztuku ba'shnei hadrachim alzeh haderech berach b'chinas peh Moshe ha'machateh ha'usios tiyakavana k'dvarein uberach nishmaso shihi ha'ruchnias tiyakavana k'divra b'useinusa. Now the Rechaim HaKadosh says, maybe I can put together my pshat, my pashe pshat with Chazal's pshat. Is Moshe a heavenly person, the way Chazal said? He's close to the heavens. Or is he standing on the ground, like I said? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chai. Moshe's body is, of course, standing on the ground. He was a human being of flesh and blood, standing on the ground, talking to Klal Yisrael. But mitzad his neshama, Moshe was mamish not here. Moshe's neshama was way above and beyond. And therefore, we're both right. We're both right. So if you read Ha'azinu the way that I do, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that it's a call to the heavens far away, that's Moshe's body speaking. If you want to read Ha'azinu, meaning that the ear is so close you barely have to raise your voice, that's from Moshe's neshama's perspective. That Moshe's neshama is close to the heavens. V'advar mochichim kein shal nishmaso shal Moshe hu shal amru chazal. And it makes sense to say that Chazal, we're speaking not about Moshe the person, beguf, but Moshe the neshama. L'fishai karov l'shamayim. Ki atzmuso ba'aret yidaber ve'in l'hachish hamuchash. How can Chazal say that Moshe's in the heavens if we know that Moshe the person is standing on the ground? So it must be that Chazal meant exactly what I'm saying they meant. That Moshe's neshama was heavenly. And therefore, from the perspective of Moshe's neshama, as we learned last week, by Yelech Moshe, his neshama was starting to transition, right? Dafka, the name Moshe, Moshe's neshama was starting to transition to the olamos, to the world beyond. Oh, so from that perspective, Moshe is speaking Ha'azinu very gently, up close to the heavens. Gavala, it's amazing. It's just beautiful to see how he works through B'derech HaPshat. Now let's go deeper. Now that we work through, we've explained Chazal, we've explained his Mahalach, we've shown how they both actually can work beautifully hand in hand. So now let's tie it into every person. Because we're also, every one of us is also made up of Guf and Neshama. So let's take this lesson out of its historical context and apply it to our lives as Jews. O Niskavin, Shedibrim Shnei Harkavos Shemehem Banoi Ha'adam. Let's go further. And now let's try to analyze the Psukim based on the two parts from which man is built. Man is made up of Echad Chelak Haruchani Shiyasiyaches B'Shem Shemayim. A person has a neshama, which is called the Shemayim of a person. Ve'echad Chelak Hagufani Shiyasiyaches B'Shem Aretz. And a person has an Aretz, namely his body. Okay, so now what? So which one do you need to speak to more strongly? So I would say the body is when you gotta bully around and make it do what you need to do. At this point, it doesn't matter what your answer is, because we've learned Hazinu both directions, right? We've learned Hazinu and Shimu in both directions. So if you want to make the focus that you need to speak more strongly to the guf, you can say that. If you want to speak more strongly to the body, you can say that. For some people, they need to really work on controlling their bodies. For other people, they're not such balei taiva, and maybe their neshama's a little cold. They need to speak to motivate their neshama. So there's emes to both. Look how he reads it. Kederach sharamu rabuseinu, as Chazal point out in the pasuk, yikra el hashamayim me'al. As Chazal and Sanhedrin say, you need to call out to the shamayim above. Ukeshediber l'ruchnias sheba adam kara elav va'amar ha'azinu hashamayim. Moshe had to call Hazinu Hashemayim va'adavera. Moshe needs to call out to the neshama, and Moshe needs to what? Speak a little more firmly. Dibor, we said, is lashon kasha, to speak in a stronger way. Why is dibor, by the way, lashon kasha? Because daber, as the Gemara uses it in Sanhedrin Daf Chesam and Aleph, daber also means to lead or to guide, to direct. Yadber amim tachtenu, David Melech says in Tehillim. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, "Dabar echad lador ve'ein shnei dabarim." There can only be one leader in a generation. So daber means to that there's a baal bas, that someone's in charge. Right? To lead, to take charge. As opposed to amira, we pointed out that the word amira, as borrowed, bismanazah, in the French language, yeah?
Love, more.
Right? To love. To love. Aleph mem resh, that shoresh, means to love. That's why, by the way, by Birchas Kohanim, what do the Pesukim say in Parshas Naso? Kohanim, this is what you should tell Bnei Yisrael, Amor lehem. Amor. That's why the bracha of Birchas Kohanim is Levarech Samo Yisrael Ba'al. Amor lehem. You have to love the Jews in order to be able to bless the Jews. Okay? Pretty cool. Okay, so now, look. So Moshe says, you need to scream to your neshama, Hazinu Hashemayim, neshama, can you hear me? Adaber, I'm speaking Lashon Kasher, Dibur Lashon Kasher to you. Perish, Chelke Hashemayim Shel Yosef Tzmunu Benistar, Lezek Karam Lahazin. The neshama, of course, wants to listen. Why do you have to scream to the neshama? You know why? Because it's buried deep inside the guf, and it's concealed. And as much as every one of us knows our neshama so well, in a certain, there's a part of us that says, we don't even know if we have a neshama. I don't even know. I mean, I know, I believe, I've heard about it. A Jew has a chelek elokam imal inside of himself. You want to ask me if I have a guf? I could tell you, I could testify, bivados. You can put me on a lie detector and I'll pass the test. Do I have a body? Yes, I have a body. Do I have a neshama? Hook you up to a polygraph? Let's see. Let's see if you really believe you have a neshama. Seriously. So therefore, hazinu hashamayim. Call out to the neshama, which is hidden and concealed within the body. Vamer kenegvor dibor kasha. Why do you have to be tough with the neshama? Ki anefesh tisbol marus binyane habore ki takir chiyuva. Because the neshama, the healing neshama, this is interesting what he's saying now. It's not just that the neshama has been negatively influenced by the body, and that's why it's having a hard time hearing. But the neshama itself has a little bit of a hard time accepting the responsibilities of the neshama because it's a lot. The demands on the neshama are a lot. Look at the words again. Ki anefesh tisbol marus binyane abori ki takir chiyuva. The neshama knows it's going to have to work hard in order to fulfill its obligations to God, and it feels overwhelmed by that. It feels burdened by that. Okay? So therefore you got to force the neshama to do what's right. To remind it of who it is. But to the body, which is revealed, amar vesishma arts. Perish to the body, chalkei haaretz imreifi, ki aguf lios tivo rachuk mihamuskalos tzorach miurak lishma. The body is so detached from the seichel, from the intellect, and from the spiritual realms that the body won't even understand. See, the neshama you can talk tough with, and you can say it like it is. The body won't even understand what you're talking about. You start talking to the body about spiritual things. Body, what are you talking about? I don't even understand what you're talking about. So the body, we have to speak gently. I have to pat the body on the back and be machazik the body. So he says, that's why the body, it's available in terms of calling out to you. You don't have to call out. It's right there. But you have to speak. You have to develop a language. I think that's what he's saying. Because it's far from the spiritual realms, you have to speak to it in a way that it can understand. If you're going to try to speak heavy-handed and talk about, you're going to go to Gehenna if you don't. Body doesn't know what you're talking about. Body can't relate to any of that. Okay? Lastly, he says, O Niskavin. Actually, no, not lastly. Let's keep going. O Niskavin. So two more on this piece. We have a lot more to do. O Niskavin. Ledaber im Adargos Hanimtsam Bi Yisrael. It could be also that Shemayim and Aretz refers to different types of Jews. Echad Heim Agadolim Roshayim. You have the Tzadikim, the Gedolim, that's Shemayim. And Beis, you have the Hamon Am, She'ein Lahem, Shem Ba'am. And then you have the Aret, the regular people. And therefore, we call the Gedolim Shemayim. B'Shem Shemayim, She'im Madrega Gedolim. And of course, we talk about the Gedolim first. Hazinu HaShemayim. V'Adavera, B'Sishma Aretz. Now look what he says. The importance of Jewish leaders. He says, the Pasuk says, Hazina Shemayim va'achar kach amar v'sishma aretz, perish. Me'atzma miyishmu ha'amon ha'nimshal la'aretz kishiyiru gedoleim holchim b'darach nachum. If the leaders act like leaders, if the tzaddikim act like tzaddikim and lead the way and become role models for Jews, so then the Hamon Am is going to follow after them. But if, God forbid, there's no leadership, right, then the masses are going to stray. But you see the importance of Lahazir Gedolim ala Katanim. That the Gedolim have to make sure that the Katanim follow their lead, but the Gedolim have to practice what they preach. And he quotes a line from the Zohar. Which says, what? Zel Shonam, Iresha Da'ama Istakein. If the head of the generation, of the people, is in a state of tikkun, then Kula Istakein. then everything will fall into place. As long as you have leaders, the tzibur, even though they're on a lower level, but they'll be carried on the coattails of their leaders. Okay, Jack, quick comment, and then Yitzchak Matcha, quick comment.
What's the connection? I'm saying he just says it.
Hazino Shemayim, B'Sishma Aretz. That's why command the leaders. Remember the question? One of the questions was, Hazinu is a Lashon Tzivoy. B'Sishma is automatically. So he's saying, exactly. Hazinu Hashemayim. Tell the leaders, you need to be good leaders. Because if you lead in the right way, then automatically people will follow your lead. Your hashpa will automatically be felt amongst the people. Okay? Okay, quick comment?
So, when we were still doing the thing about how like to relate to things in Torah, does that have to do with also kind of like conservation of character type of commentaries where like nowadays we're so hesitant to ever call one of the avos?
Right. You know, like, that's a good question.
Where we have
right, to make the avos anything less than perfect.
It says like, Avram just made a mistake.
I think people from our general Hashkafic background and I don't know where we're heading, I guess, Hashkafically also. I think people who understand the nuance understand that there's actually a tremendous mila in making the avos more human. Right? We make them more inspiring. We show that they were human beings and they did make mistakes. And again, we certainly have who to rely upon. The Ramban criticizes Avram, and Rav Hirsch criticizes Yitzchak, and you can collect the whole, any commentaries that speak critically and are not shying away from pointing out the mistakes of the tzaddikim. And Moshe Rabbeinu makes mistakes in the Chumash, and if we learn that with still maintaining the proper respect and still reminding ourselves that these were not regular people like us. But they were still human, and they still made mistakes. I think again, I know there are places that try to, and hashkafas that only try to present everything as perfect. And on some deeper level, our Averis are also not really Averis. But now we're getting into Ishbitz, and we're learning our Chaim Kaddish. Okay, so let's come back. He says one more. Let's do one more. He says, Ode Yirmas. Let's do one more Ode. And now we can move on to the next piece. The Ode Yirmas is now, we go one step further. Hazinu Hashemayim. Shemayim is Divrei Torah. Listen to Torah. Im Yazinu Divrei Torah, Oz Yu Nikram Shemayim. A Jew who has Torah in his life can turn anything into Shemayim. He could turn a cup of coffee into Shemayim. He could turn a slice of pizza into Shemayim. He could turn a basketball game into Shemayim. He could turn an intimate moment between husband and wife into Shemayim. He could turn the most physical things into Shemayim. Because with Torah, you have the ability to transform everything into Shemayim, to give spiritual meaning and content to everything. Again, im yazinu divrei Torah, oz yihyu nikram Shemayim. V'hu omru ha'azinu bazeh. Atem nechshavim Shemayim. Al derech omru ani amarti Elohim atem. Ha'azinu, listen to the possibility, be cognizant of the possibility of being heavenly. Realize that you can be godly and spiritual, right? That I can call you Elohim, I can call you godly. Like it says in Tehillim Pei Beis. Ukamosha Arachnu Parshas Bereishis, Shal Yedei Maise HaTzadikim, Gam HaChomer Mahapchem Oso V'Osem Oso Tzura. A tzaddik takes chomer, takes gross physicality. Gross not in disgusting, but gross as in something which is densely dense and very physical. And he turns it into what? Into Tzura. He turns it into something of higher form. He takes substance, literally, chomer, and turns it into form, into higher matter. Okay, these are terms that Aristotle, of course, was using. And the Rambam followed afterwards. But again, these are ideas in Kabbalah as well. At least the terminology of the Maharal all over the place. But again, in Torah, what it means is I'm taking something, a davar gashmi, and I'm making it into a davar ruchni. I'm elevating it higher to its shorish of its spiritual source. But unfortunately, the Rasham do the exact opposite. A Rasha could take a spiritual thing and turn it into a gashmius thing. They take something of refined matter and lower it into gross form. Right? The spirit, the inner neshama of everything, the ruchnius of everything is called Shemayim. And the chomer, the raw material, is called Eretz. And therefore, Ba'ad Abeira. Ha'azinu Hashemayim Va'adabera. What does that mean, Perish? Lo b'shas hatova lavad ta'azinu ela afilu b'shas yedaber kashos b'sochechos al avon tzrichin lahazim. He shifts gears on this last point and says, and therefore, if you are Shemayim, If you're a spiritual person who turns everything that you come into contact with into something spiritual, then guess what? Hazinu Hashemayim, even Va'adabeira. That even when you need to hear Dibur Kasha, even when you receive Tochacha, even when things don't work out for you as well as you would like them to, as we're going to see many, many psukim of harsh rebuke in this parsha, realize that as a spiritual person, Gamzu L'Tova, that there's something good in it. That when things aren't working out, I'm still listening. I'm still willing to makabel something that's a little heavy-handed. Because again, I recognize that my purpose in this world is not about myself, it's not about my own pleasure, it's not about having a good time. It's about elevating the world. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you can do a little better, you say, but Hashem, I'm trying so hard. Why are you? Stop telling me I can do better. Stop telling me I can turn everything into something even loftier. But you can, says Hashem. If you're a spiritual person, you're never satisfied with your level and you're always willing to listen to become more shamayimdik, to become more spiritual. Okay? Alright. Pretty gavaldic stuff. Let's turn the page. Hazino Hashemayim v'adaber v'sishma aretz imrefi. The second pasuk in the parasha reads, Ya'arov kamatar likhi tizol katal imrasi kisirim alei desha v'chirvivim alei esef. May my teaching drop like the rain. May my utterance flow like the dew. Like storm winds upon vegetation, like raindrops upon blades of grass. The Rechaim HaKadosh has a long arichas here, explaining how the tal and the matar are referencing Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. Tal, he says, is Torah Shebaal Peh. Matar, likhi, is a reference to Torah Shebichsav. And he goes on, he talks about the importance of learning Torah Shebichsav only during the daytime. That's why Torah Shebichsav is compared to rain, because rain is not all the time. Rain comes in certain seasons. As opposed to dew, which is always available in Torah Shebaal Peh, is meant to be learned at all times. That's based on the Arizal. It's brought by the Be'er Heitiv L'Halacha in Or HaChaim Siman Reish Lamed Ches, when it describes how a person should spend his day and divide up his time in terms of learning. Okay, yes.
That mean, like, if I
just
said, I'm not,
but
if I was doing
Shemayim
Mikra,
you should do it during the day.
Better, I shouldn't do it at night.
It's better to do it during the day. It's better to do it during the day. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu kept track of the time, by the way. When Moshe was up in the Shemayim, and there was no day, there was no night, so how did Moshe keep track of day and night? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, depending on what Hashem was teaching him. If Hashem was teaching Torah Shavachsav, he knew it was day. If Hashem was teaching him Torah Shavachsav, he knew it was night. Okay. The Arizal writes about this. And again, it does make its way onto the page of the Shulchan Aruch and the Be'er Heitiv. Okay? Look at the passage that begins, Kisirim. You see the paragraph? Kisirim. Kisirim Alei Desha. Kisirim Alei Desha means like storm winds upon vegetation. V'chirvivim, and like raindrops, Alei Esav, upon the little blades of grass. There are strong winds, and there are intense rains, and then there are less intense winds and less intense rains. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, a very powerful piece, which is going to make a great demand of each and every one of us. No excuses. No excuses, because you could be better. How much better can you be? That's up to each person to figure out. For some people, you need to make it rain a lot more. For some people, you just need a few drops. But everyone can be doing better. It's a very chashuv piece. Look at this piece. Kisirim. Yizbar al derech omrim bebraisa. He quotes a medrash in Mishlei. This medrash in Mishlei, I mentioned the other week. I don't remember what context it came up. But in the Nefesh HaChaim, in Shar Dalid, in Perek Beis, he quotes this medrash in Mishlei. It's a frightening medrash. You'll remember it once you see it. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, kishma amidin asaladim adin. When a person comes to the day of judgment, right? Woe is he. If you learn all of Tanakh, they ask you, why didn't you learn Mishnah? If you know all of Mishnah, they say, why didn't you learn Gemara? And it goes on and on and on. No matter how much you learn, they're always going to say to you, in the heavens, you could have done a little bit more. Okay. So, woe to the day of din and woe to the day of rebuke. He named me Omek Divri Habraisa Mochichem Hadvarim. Shemish Yesh Biado Mikra. Look what he writes here. It's very demanding. There's an expectation that Rechaim HaKadosh is about to place upon us, but it's with a tremendous language of Chizik. Look what he says. Shemish Yesh Biado Mikra. Ain't Shaolin Mimenu Maisa Merkava. They don't say to a guy who learned Tanakh, why didn't you know Kabbalah? Kabbalah? I don't even know Mishnayos. They don't ask him that. They're not going to ask you 10 steps ahead of where you are. Ela madrega achas kafi yachotu yosu masha torach. Shalav haya litroach gader lamala mizam. All that's asked for you in Shemayim is, could you have been a little bit better? You made it to Mikra. Why couldn't you make it to Mishnah? Did you really use your time well enough that you have a good excuse? You could have made it to Mishnah. So you're going to say, yeah, you're right. I could have made it to Mishnah. By your own admission, you're going to admit to your own guilt. Right? Hashem doesn't say, why didn't you make it to Gemara? Maybe you weren't cut out for making it to Gemara. But you could have made it to Mishnah at least. So they ask you one level above your level. V'hu Omer. And that's what the pasuk means. Kisi'irim v'gomer v'chirivivim v'gomer. Perish. Kishir Shiyam Tir Hashem Tipin Kitanim Aladesha Shukatan. Ukuravivim Shem Tipin Gedolim Va'avim Ale Asef Shugadal Shiyacholispo. Okay, he's translating it the opposite the way Archibald translated it. Right? But he's saying that Kisi'irim refers to little drops which fall upon the desha, upon the vegetation, which is more delicate, as opposed to the Kuravivim, the larger drops which fall upon the Asef, fall upon the grasses of the field, which are not going to be destroyed by a heavy rain. And therefore, the same thing is true in the spiritual world. Kedim yon zeh mitzvah Torah. Kol echad kafi koach shiyaschol lahasig. Each person according to what he can handle. V'yesh b'zeh lahakil ulahachmir. For some people, less. For some people, more. Lahakil amisha ina yachol lahasig yoser. This becomes a very powerful and acceptable excuse once a person has done everything that he can. You will not be held accountable. Lahakil. We'll give you a pass. You will not be held accountable for things outside of your realistic reach. However, it's also lahachmir. Al mishiyachol harbei sheshaw lin mimenu hakol vafilu ma'isim merkava. But if you're able to go all the way and you stop even one step short, you say, "But I got so much farther than my friend." Yeah, but you could have gone one step further. So it's a very powerful, powerful chashuv piece of Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Let's keep going. The next pasuk reads, "Kishem Hashem akra, havu godel leilokeinu." When I call out the name of Hashem, havu godel, ascribe greatness leilokeinu to our God, to our God. Let's see a couple pieces here, each one very powerful, short pieces. "Kishem Hashem akra, hakavana ki adavar asher elav yechavin b'ma'amarav hu shem Hashem." This is a very chassidish piece. "Kishem Hashem akra," that when I'm learning Torah, whether it's Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, or Baba Basra, and someone says, "What are you learning?" The right answer is, "I'm learning Shem Hashem. I'm studying the name of God, the essence of God. The name is the essence of something. I'm studying Shem Hashem. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. Ki Adavar Asher Elav Yechav and Ma'amarav Hu Shem Hashem." When I learn, when I teach Torah, when I'm connecting to Torah, I'm connecting to Shem Hashem. Like it says in the Zohar Kadosh, or as the Ramban quotes in his Hakdama. As Ramban quotes in his Hakdama to Chumash, "Kol haTorah kula shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." The whole Torah from beginning to end is the name of God. So don't say this Torah is relevant, this Torah is irrelevant. Relevant, irrelevant. What are you talking about? The whole Torah, every bit of it is expressing the essence of Hashem. "V'alehu omer ya'arov kamater likhi shehi haTorah shi shemo yisbarach uferish ekra milashon yakar." That every bit of the Torah has to be valued, has to be absorbed, like the drops of rain descending from on high. He goes further. Not only do I have to learn Torah with the awareness that I'm learning the Shem Hashem, but that tells me also about Lima Torah Lishma. Look what he writes in the next paragraph. Od Rambas Shagam Shatalhem Esek HaTorah B'talu Matar Lo Tiyak Havana B'limit Al Zeh. You might say that when I learn Torah, I'm going to be rewarded. Learn through the paragraph that we say in Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim every day, in Shema. If you behave, then you'll get rain. So I should learn Torah to get rain. It's true. The Torah made the rain dependent upon the one study of Torah. However, don't learn Torah for that reason. Elalikros b'sefer Torah Hashem. Right? Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. What does it mean? V'hu omro ki perish yatam shem Hashem ekra perish likros b'taraso shehi shemo yisbarach kedei sheyitein godel elokeinu. Ki, if you want to know why you're studying Torah, realize shem Hashem ekra. Realize that it's the name of Hashem and study it for the purpose of havu godel elokeinu, to bring honor to God, to bring kvod shemayim, not to get rain and to have good vegetation. Bezeh tikarei Torah lishma. Legadel lefaer shem kvodo. Torah lishma means study Torah for what? For the name of Hashem, for the sake of Hashem's name. That's what Lishma means, for His name. Right? Some say maybe it should be Lishma if it's really for Hashem's name. Is it for the Torah's sake? Is it for Hashem's sake? Okay, we're already getting into the nuanced sugya of what is, you know, how do we define Torah Lishma? But again, learn Torah, Havu Gadol Elokeinu, in order to bring Kvod Shemayim. Gevaldik. Va'omer Ekra. And the Pasuk says Ekra. Ekra. Who's Ekra? Humashi Yasa Kol Echad Mehem. That every one of you can do this. This is not only for the big tzaddikim to learn Torah Lishma. It's not only for the big tzaddikim to realize that they're osek in Shem Hashem when they're osek in Torah. That every single Jew can recognize and can realize that when I study Hashem's Torah, I'm studying Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I too can study Torah Lishma. It's speaking, the Lashon of the Torah is speaking to each and every one of us in our own way. Concludes the Rachaim HaKadosh, Shenafshos Kol Oskei Torah Heim Nitzotzei Moshe. Then he adds one final point. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. Again, it sounds like Moshe is the one who's speaking here. So when I learn Torah, do I have a sheiches to Moshe Rabbeinu? So he quotes a deep idea from the Zohar, although it's alluded to in several places in Shas, that when a person studies Torah, the nitzos of Moshe Rabbeinu, the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, is connected to him. That's why you have Maseches Shabbos, Maseches Chulin, you have in a few places where someone makes a sharp comment in the Beis Medrash, and what do they say to him? Oh, Moshe, Shafir Kamos. Moshe, you said good. So he says, thank you for calling me Moshe, but my name is Yankel. Right? What do we mean Moshe? Shaper Kamas. Who are you calling Moshe? I mean, it's not Yankel, the Gemara. But I'm saying, right? Why are you responding to one of the Tanaim and calling him Moshe? That's not his name. The answer is, Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, not only when you study Torah, you're connecting to the Shem, the essence of Hashem, but you're also connecting yourself to what? To the physical Nosein HaTorah. To Moshe Rabbeinu, to the teacher of Torah. Zichru Toras Moshe. It's also called Toras Moshe. So when you learn Torah, and you learn it properly, Moshe Rabbeinu says that you're going to connect to me. V'lo dor ha-midbar levad, elad sov kol ha-doros. Kol ha-osik b'torah karachu k'moshe, b'moshe. He becomes wrapped up with Moshe. V'lezek kina isek Torah shel Yisrael, elav, v'amar ekra. And therefore we're connecting, in this pasuk, we're connecting the entirety of the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, pretty amazing stuff. All right, let's learn one scary piece and then one chizuktik piece, and then we'll end with that. Okay, so let's jump ahead to pasuk K, where Hashem starts to rebuke Klal Yisrael. Shiches lo lo banav muma dori keshu fisal tor. Hashem is just, right? Says the pasuk David. Atzur tamim palo ki kol drachav mishpat. Hashem's a tzaddik. Everything Hashem does is right. New. So why do you see bad things in the world? Here's the answer. Pasuk in Chumash. Why do righteous people suffer? Why is the world falling apart? God, are you a just God? Yes, I'm a just God. So whose fault is it? It's your fault. Shiches, lo, lo. Shiches, the corruption. Lo, lo is not his. Rather, banav muma. Banav, it's his children's fault. Banav atem l'Hashem v'kech. Dor ikesh ufisal tol. Because you are perverse and twisted and stubborn, right? Akshanus, a stubborn people. Now, look at this scary piece of Ruach Haim HaKadosh, and I'm not sure, but we're going to leave it Tzarchi and Gadol. Because we know the Tshuva Sarash for Paskins, like Rabbi Meir, that Benkach Benkach, you're called the children of Hashem. But look what he says here, he brings a scary thing. Shiches lo lo banav, perish. Kishamashchisim darkam garmim ra la'atzmam. It's not just the Pasuk Kipshuto saying that when bad things happen, it's the fault of the children. But Shiches lo, lo banav. That when you corrupt the world, Hashem says, you're not even my children anymore. I don't want you to be my children. I want to disassociate with you. Kishamashchisim darkam garmim ra la'atzmam. They cause bad to themselves. They cause destruction to themselves. Uma ra'a garmim. Lo banav. You see where he's punctuating it? He's not reading it. Shiches lo lo. The penalty is not his. Not Hashem's fault. Banav mumam. It's his children's fault. The Chaim is reading it. Shiches lo. Lo banav. That when there is corruption, we are not his children. Peirish she'enam nikra'im b'nei kel chai. Like the Gemara says in Bava Basra Daf Yud, which we haven't mentioned this year. It's sort of a parallel sugya to Kedushin Lamed Vav when it talks about, are you children of Hashem at all costs? Kishi Yisrael holchim b'darko shal makom nikra'im banim. V'kishi ein holchim nikra'im avadim. And that's why we say, im kebanim im kevadim. Right? We incorporate it into the davening Yom Nora. But again, Tzarach Ian, why the Rechaim HaKadosh would want to interpret the pasuk this way, when we know the halacha, he told us earlier, you can say a var, but you can't go against the halacha. And we know the halacha. The halacha, as paskind by the Chuvah Sarashpa in two places, is that Beinkach LeBeinkach Kriyim Bar. So Tzarach Ian, this is not just Divrei Agadah. This is halacha lemaisa. How do we view ourselves? Okay, so we have to analyze more deeply. I don't know how to answer up for this Rechaim HaKadosh. Who amro shiches lo shelo yikru banav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shiches lo v'omro mumam lefi sheyesh makom lomar sof sof yagi hadavar la'av mumam barum chas v'shalom leze amar mumam. So you might say, wait a minute, but these are your kids. I mean, it's like your kid does something bad, your child does something wrong, and the parents say, well, it's not my child, but it is, sir. It actually is your child. So you're gonna have to pay for that broken window. No, it's not my child. What do you mean it's not your child? You can't just declare it not your child and be exempt. So it says the Rechaim HaKadosh, sometimes the parents suffer because of the child. What do you mean? You can't just throw us off like that. But that's how the pasuk says, Mumam, perish, Hamum mehem ba, lo me'avinu, ki hu bara sa'adam yashar. You see, normally, we have a cloud from the end of the Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara at the end of Sukkah says that what a kid says in the marketplace, he picked up from his parents. So if a kid says something really inappropriate, if a kid learns a certain way of speaking or thinking or acting, right, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's why when Miriam Bas Bilga did what she did at the end of the Gemara Sukkah, and she trampled the Beis HaMikdash, she stepped on the Mizbeach, she said, Lucas, right, for those who remember that Gemara, Jeremy knows that Gemara very well, he's an expert in Masechet Sukkah. I don't know what he's going to do in Yeshiva next year. We have to go to Torah Das next year because we're learning Sukkah in YU next year. Yeah, so you might as well.
I mean, we are not there.
You go to Landers. You go to Torah Das. Shari Alshem's a nice yeshiva. You go back there to Sofer for a year. I said, there's no point in learning Sukkah again. You haven't, you know. It's your main Masechet.
I didn't learn it again. I definitely.
So why was her whole family punished of the 24 rungs? In the northern part of the Azar, where they shech the animals, they took the ring, right, where you're supposed to open it to put the animal's head in and close the ring. They locked the ring and they sealed off the storage room of her family. So they said, what did her family do wrong? This girl rebelled. She married a guy. She comes and tramples the Beis HaMikdash. She slanders God in the Beis HaMikdash, married to this Greek general. So what does the family have? So the Gemara says, because something a child says in the marketplace, you learned it at home. There's one exception. That's what the Rechaim HaKadosh is saying. There is a child who the parent can really say, that's not me. It's Hashem and us. Hashem can say, I made them yashar. I know exactly how they were programmed. And any of this corruption is self-inflicted. K'maymer HaNavi. I made them yashar, says the Navi Yeshaya, Kerem Hayu Vagomer, Viazkeyu, Viasalkeyu, Viateyu Sorek, Viakav Lasos Anavim. The Navi says, we cleared the soil, we planted a nice vineyard with good grapes, and everything got ruined. So how did that happen? How did that happen? It wasn't the farmer's fault. There was something inherently rotten about the child, about the product, right? About the produce. Vahu Amra Mumam Hamum Mehem Ba. The fault is entirely theirs. Uperish mum? What does it mean mum? Like the Gemara in Sota. Ein adam over avera elam kin nichlas bo ruach shtus shu ruach ra. That's the mum. That's the mum ra. He says b'derech sod. He's been ravish the deep things here. Vam shachas chelak zeh hara inu el mitzad maiseh adam. And that bad part of man that can emerge from within man who was created yashar, which again raises the question: if he made us yashar, so how is it possible that I did this? Well, that's the sod of the ra, the shtus, right? That's the shtus of man. It's a ruach shtus. It's an outside force. It's not directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, I made you yashar. And therefore, the fault is entirely your own. The fault is entirely your own. Okay, but what a child says, a child learns from the home. I once heard Rabbi Pesach Kron tell a story. He said a kid was in a store. A kid was in a store with his mother. And one of the nice workers in the store decided to give the kid a treat. So she's shopping. She's shopping for fruits and vegetables. So the nice worker goes over and says, "Oh, young boy, would you like a banana?" So he takes the banana, takes it out of the worker's hand. So the mother says to the child, "Oh, sweetie, what do you say to the nice man?" So the kid looks at the man and says, "Peel it." So Akron said, where do you think a kid learned such a thing? Peel it. Right? Okay, she was hoping he'd say, thank you, it's so nice of you. Right? But the way that a kid speaks, and the mother was very embarrassed, because obviously, what do you mean? This wasn't like an aberration. This is obviously how you taught your children to speak, and that's probably how you speak to other people when you need something done. You bark at them. So, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But again, this is the exception. That we could never turn back to Kadosh Baruch and say, well, you made me this way. You made me this way. I made you Yashar. Now I know there's a lot of things we could try to tie that to defend Klal Yisrael on this point and put the blame a little bit on Hashem. But again, I think we have to take the blame and try to be better. Dori Kesha for Salto. We've corrupted ourselves two times over. Yeah.
I can't tell if this goes in line or contradicts kind of what he said on the Archive said on the line last week's partial with turning his when Hashem would turn his head away.
Right.
Because I felt like he gave like a Hasidic interpretation where that was like, it's so painful for him that he can't watch, that he's still, like the whole surgery muscle.
Right.
Whereas here it's kind of saying like, no, it's not so painful, it's just like,
right,
I don't want to associate with you, you're in time out, come back.
Right, later. Right. Okay, so let's end on a positive note in that way, exactly. You're absolutely right. All these scary psukim, there's a lot. I think that's the scariest Orach Chaim HaKadosh over here. There are a lot of scary ones over here. Okay, so I want to jump to the end of the parsha and end on a positive note. Actually, you know what? Let's just do two more pieces. Let's go back. I'm sorry. Let's go back. I skipped the piece that I wanted to show you. Go back to Kishem Hashem Ekra, right after the Torah Lishma part that we were reading. We should have done one last paragraph for it. The last paragraph on Pasuk Gimel. Od Yirtza Omro Kishem Hashem. The truth is, I'm glad we did it out of order, because now we can malam mitzchus and klai. So we're the banav of Hashem, but Hashem says lo banav mumam. It's all your fault. So as much as sometimes we upset a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and again there are many psukim here of Hashem really being very frustrated with us, and by the end of the Torah you'd hope we'd be a little bit better by now, and we seem to not be. But at the same time, as much as we can be the biggest disappointment to Hashem, we can also be the greatest sort of surprise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Better than any angel, better than any other part of the Bria. When the sun moves in its rotations, when the heavenly spheres revolve, when the angels sing Kadosh, 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 when a Jew serves Hashem, it's the best thing of all. Look what he writes, Kishem Hashem Ekra. Od Yirtza Omro. You see the paragraph? The last one in Pasuk Gimel. Lamed Beis Gimel. Od Yirtza Omro Kishem Hashem V'Gomer. Nesinas Tam L'Hanemar Acher Kach. Havu Godel Lelokenu. Lelokenu. It's only when Hashem is our God that Hashem gets the quote Shemayim that he deserves. And that's, he says, we can explain based on the Medrash. The Yalkut in Parshas Noach, the Yalkut Shemoni in Parshas Noach says, on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael. When is Hashem Yoshev Tehilos? When can Hashem sit on his throne and just bask in the praises? When angels praise him? When the sun and the stars follow their command and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing what they're supposed to do? No. Because none of those things have free choice. And if they can't make mistakes, then they can't really serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael. Says the Medrash, Shelo Yashav Hashem Al Kisei HaTehilos. At She'aru Tzva Shemayim Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. It's only when Hashem is acknowledged as the Jewish God. Hashem does not feel kiviyachol the pleasure, the enjoyment, the nachas when the heaven and earth recognize that He is their God. Or where He's the God of the angels. That doesn't mean anything to Him. Right, havu godel umala ledavar zeh she'eino chafetz likare ela elokeinu. That gives quote Shemayim. That brings Hashem honor. Kishem Hashem Ekra. When Hashem is called Elokeinu, that's what Hashem is really looking for. When the rebellious children actually turn themselves around and come back to Him. So I want to end really just on a positive note for the Jewish people. Because we're living in a tough time, and the Golus is long, and these psukim describe how we're going to suffer a lot in Golus. Many, many psukim about HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattering us and punishing us, and all sorts of very frightening things in these psukim. And it gets worse and worse and worse as it goes on here. Dor ta'apuchos. El emunah ein avel. Hashem is innocent. It's all your fault. It's very rough. But it ends on a very positive note. Go to Pasuk Lamed Vav. Because like we did before we started, we went through the psukim, and we saw that at the end, Klal Yisrael are comforted. In what merit are we going to be comforted? Ki adin Hashem amo. Ki adin Hashem amo. You see it? Pasuk lamed vav. Lamed beis lamed vav. Ki adin Hashem amo. Let me just read you the series of psukim. I'll read it to in English. When Hashem will have judged his people, he shall relent regarding his servants. When he sees that enemy powers progress and none is saved or assisted. Right? When Hashem sees that it's getting out of control to the point that the nations of the world think that they're in charge, Hashem is going to pull back and he's going to see our suffering. So Yitzchak Matzah, to answer your question, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned away and he couldn't bear to watch. But at some point it's going to get so bad that Hashem is going to have to look back at his children. Like we mentioned after Shir last time, the piece that's the Rebbe in that piece in Esh Kodesh where he calls upon Hashem, just look, because if you look, you'll never be able to deny us the salvation that we so desperately need. So look what it says here. In what merit will we finally put an end to Hashem's anger? Ki adin Hashem amo, ach hashagamar inyan mach isay kel ad sofam, chazer laftiach lechlalos Yisrael shalo la'olam yarevitam. Hashem says this is not going to go on forever like this. Ki yadin Hashem amo. At some point it's going to come to an end. Perish, Yamid b'mishpat kosos atar eila asher avuram, v'yirat saros sh'avur al tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see that the wrath has been poured out upon us, and he's going to reflect on the suffering of the tzadikim, of the servants. That's what the pasuk says. Hashem's going to have rachmanis on those who serve him. Mehem hargu, mehem sarfu, mehem efshitum, uv'shvil tzadikim asher nitztaru yisnachim. And in the merit of the Jews who suffered, the righteous who suffered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have rachmanis on all of us. And Ami Chulam Tzadikim. Every Jew has an akud of tzaddik, and every Jew unfortunately has suffered, and therefore we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachmanis on us. And because of his servants, Hashem will provide comfort. Perish. Bishvilam. Yisnachim. What does that mean? Lomar. Dai Tzaras HaGalas. We've suffered enough. And now it's time to see the Geula. So Mirtz Hashem, as we come to Yom Kippur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Tara and sends Kapara across the whole world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should clean up all of the suffering of the Jewish people. We should all be zocha to have a Gemar Chesima Tova. We should feel the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lefnei Hashem Titaru, and then Amir Tzashem. Amir Tzashem, after the break, we'll pick up with the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, with the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. He'll teach it to us. In Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh, Parshas Bereishis, Tav Shanayin Zayin.